Okay. Hold your mouth right there. We both got to hold our mouth right to that. Mark is working on a problem with this. It's slow go. It's hard to get people to do what they say they're going to do. I know that's a surprise to you, but it is. But I appreciate his energy in trying to get that accomplished. And so we're trying to find a formula here that works until we can get that replaced. The outlines are on the pedestal in the foyer, so if you do not have one of those and want to go get one, then by all means do so. This evening, we're going to look at the subject of spiritual paralysis. We're familiar with paralysis. We probably know someone who has suffered some form of paralysis. Perhaps it's temporary through a stroke or some fashion, or perhaps it's permanent. Paralysis is defined in this way: partial or complete loss of the power of voluntary motion, sometimes of the power of perceiving sensations. That's physical paralysis. Well, it certainly applies in the spiritual realm if we think about that. Let's divide this into two definitions, or two parts of this definition. Think about it then from terms of the spiritual. Partial or complete loss of the power of voluntary motion. Physically, we understand that completely, but it can be in that realm of spiritual as well. That because of fear or whatever it might be, anxiety or whatever the case, partial or complete loss of the power of voluntary motion, doing what we should do as Christians. Now, the second part of that, sometimes of the power of perceiving sensations. So physically we know that a person is paralyzed does not have feeling in those extremities that are stricken with paralysis. Might be the case that we suffer that spiritually. Remember that Paul told Timothy that some had their conscience seared as with the hot iron? Couldn't perceive any sensations in that regard. There are many causes, of course, for physical paralysis. Birth defects, it can come through an accident. It can come through an injury of some fashion. It can come through disease. It can come through shock, an allergic reaction, or other measures or means by which one is physically paralyzed. But there's only one source for spiritual paralysis. And that source is sin. So let's examine then what sin does in this regard. First, sin paralyzes the eye that it cannot see. Paralyzes the eye that it cannot see. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:5-9, and beside this, giving all diligence, add your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, or love. For if these things be in you and abound, that make each, that you should be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Here, spiritual blindness. Here is an instance in which sin has caused paralysis then in the eye, if you will, so that a person cannot see that which ordinarily he should be able to do. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, Paul said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, notice, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Here might be a foundation or a basis for that spiritual paralysis that caused blindness. The God of this world is blinding us. The God of this world, of course, is Satan himself, but he has many ministers. He has many avenues, lest the flesh, lest the eyes, pride of life we're familiar with. But those can be further divided up. That there are many angles that Satan will try to blind us to God's word. Sin will cause us to have spiritual paralysis, if you will, so that our eye cannot see. We find in 1 John 2:11, but he that hateth his brothers in darkness and walketh in darkness, knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Well, there are other realms, of course, in which that can apply, but certainly in ideas regarding our own brethren. Sometimes we suffer spiritual paralysis because and the result is it keeps the eye from seeing. But again, sin can cause paralysis so that the mouth cannot speak. Paralyzes the mouth that it cannot speak. We find in Acts 4:29, when the disciples, Peter and John in particular here, having healed the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, as Acts 3 introduces that to us, brought before the council. Then they were released in that council. The Bible says in Acts 4:29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." Those are those authorities. "And grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Now, if anyone ever had the right or the privilege of not speaking, it would have been these disciples. They were threatened by the government of the day. "Don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus." They said, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to listen unto you more than to God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And they even prayed to that regard. "Let us have boldness that we may speak." Spiritual paralysis can cause the mouth not to speak as it should. That paralysis can come in a number of ways. It could have come on this occasion to those individuals because of the threatenings of the government. But it can come because of fear. Remember the one talent individual? He was afraid and went and hid the Lord's talent. It would paralyze the mouth that it cannot speak. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, "I beseech you, brethren," Paul said, "by the mercy of God, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing." Notice the speaking. Speak the same thing. It should be of the same mind, the same judgment. No divisions among you. We're familiar with the passage. But notice that you speak the same thing. Spiritual paralysis prevents people not only from speaking, but from speaking the same thing. And it all goes back to sin. Sin is at the bottom of it all. It will paralyze the mouth that it cannot speak. We find in Ephesians 4:25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor." Notice the command to speak, "for we are members one of another." We're to speak truth. Not only do we speak, we're to speak with boldness. We're to speak the truth. Sin will paralyze the mouth that it cannot speak. But again, sin paralyzes the hand that it cannot work. That it cannot work. James 4 and verse 8, James said, "Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." The psalmist had said, "Who shall enter the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" And he answered his own question, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." And so the hands must be clean. You know, your mom had it right years ago. Wash your hands. We got to have clean hands. Physically, of course, we know the benefits of that from disease and so forth. But spiritually, hands have to be clean. In order to have clean hands, they must be engaged in the Lord's service. Sin paralyzes the hand that it cannot do what God has commanded of it to do, that it will not work. Ephesians 4 and verse 28. Paul said, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things that is right and good, that he may have to give to him that hath need it." And so we're to be working people. The principle, of course, established by Paul is, if a man would not work, neither should he eat. And so when God created mankind, he gave him what was needful in the Garden of Eden. He gave him a place to live. He gave him a precept to lead. He gave him a partner to love, but he also gave him a profession to learn. And that was farming, the first profession. He was to dress and keep the garden. And so work with man's hands, labor, if you will, was not a curse that was brought about by sin. That was given before sin ever came about. It was made harder by sin, but work has always been a part of God's plan for man. And so sin paralyzes, in the spiritual sense, the hand that it cannot work. John 9 verse 4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that has sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work." Certainly if it's true of the Lord, it's true of us, that we must work while it is yet day. The night cometh. And for most of us, the night is closer than the morning when we came into this world. And so the daytime is still before us. Sin cannot paralyze the hands that they cannot work. If they do, we fail in being what we ought to be. Sin paralyzes the eye that cannot see, paralyzes the mouth that cannot speak, paralyzes the hand that cannot work. But sin also paralyzes the feet that they cannot go. The feet that they cannot go. Matthew 28:19-20, we are familiar with the Great Commission. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Mark said it this way in Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." That's not just a command for preachers, not just a command for elders. That's a command for all Christians. We're to go. As you go, literally is what it says. As you go, teach. As you go, preach. That's a part of what we are commanded to do. We're to go. When God says go, then we must pack our bags, so to speak. When God says go, we can't just stay. When God says go, we can't just carry behind. We have to go. in our going then. That doesn't mean we have to go halfway around the world. It means that as we go on a regular daily basis, we ought to be a spokesman for God. But sin will paralyze the feet that they cannot go. Now, we know that's true with physical paralysis, but it's also true spiritually. Further, sin will paralyze the ear that it cannot hear. Spiritual paralysis. Paralyzing the ear that it cannot hear. Now, physically, I don't know that paralysis would affect the ear, but it's possible, I suppose. But it is true spiritually. We find in John 8 and verse 43, Jesus asked the question, "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word?" Now, was Jesus speaking to people who were physically deaf? No, they had the ability to hear. But the ability to hear did not allow them the power to hear, because that was within them. They were hearing his words, but they were not listening to his words. We know the difference in those from being in school. We've been accused now. You're not listening to what I'm saying. That's the idea behind here. And so that's what sin will do. It will paralyze the ear that it cannot hear. It won't listen to the commands that God has given. In Romans 10:17, we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And yet sin will cause spiritual paralysis, that the ear will not that it cannot, but it will not hear the word of God and apply the same. We know that's the case with some people. They simply have no desire for the word of God. They simply will not. They refuse to hear what God teaches them. We can be guilty of that as well if we close our ears to that which God has given unto us. Revelation 2 and verse 29, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revealed in each of these seven churches of Asia when we get to the book of Revelation. And so the command to hear, the command to listen, if you will, to God's word is found throughout. And yet spiritual paralysis will paralyze the ear that it cannot hear. Finally, when we look at what sin will do, it will paralyze the heart that it cannot trust. I like this graphic because it combines what we think of when we think of the heart with the brain. And that's what the biblical heart is. It's not the blood pump, but it's the mind. And because the heart, if you will, in the biblical sense, involves emotions and the intellect and the willpower and the reasoning ability, we refer to the heart. It's through the heart that we have emotions. But when we talk about emotions or feelings, we often point here, the heart. And when we talk about intellect, we point to the mind. In reality, those are both the same. All of that takes place in the mind. But sin paralyzes the heart that it cannot trust. A heart that it cannot trust is one that's going to be hardened. It's going to be bound, just like this illustration with the chain. Romans 10 and verse 10. Paul said, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Sin paralyzes some people, and they will not confess the name of Christ. Their faith is not in Christ, and thus they will not confess that. But sin can paralyze us so that we are not a living confession of Christ. That is not a part of our daily routine. Sin can paralyze us and keep us from being what we ought to be in that way. Hebrews 3 and verse 13, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." That's the hardness of the heart. The hardness of the heart which will not allow the heart to trust. This morning's lesson dealt with our security as believers, with being saved and understanding that we are. That's a heart that trusts in God. That's a heart that trusts in the plan of God and allows that plan to work in our lives. And as we work the plan of God by being obedient to his will. But sin can paralyze the heart that it will not trust in the one who has given us that plan of redemption. Psalm 95 and verse 8, the psalmist said, "Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Other instances are found in this way. The Hebrew writer quoted from this passage, of course, but we're not to harden our hearts. You see, when the heart becomes paralyzed so that it cannot trust, it's because it's become hardened by the individual through a lack of obedience, through a lack of trust in God's word, through a lack of allowing that trust and that faith to be what it ought to be and operate as it should in our minds. When we look at this idea of sin paralyzing, it paralyzes the eye that cannot see, paralyzes the mouth that cannot speak, it paralyzes the hand that it cannot work, the feet that they cannot go, the ear that it cannot hear, the heart that cannot trust. In actuality, if we are paralyzed spiritually, if you will, in one of these areas, it's more likely than not that we're paralyzed in others, maybe in all of them. And so it takes a combination of seeing what God wants us to see, speaking that which God wants us to speak, working as God has commanded us to work in our obedience, going as God has told us to go, hearing what God has commanded us to hear, and having confidence, trust in His Word. But sin, like the physical maladies that cause physical paralysis, can cause spiritual paralysis and prevent us from being what God would have us to be. And so the question each of us should ask ourselves this evening, in light of these matters, am I afflicted with spiritual paralysis? You see, if my ear is paralyzed, if you will, spiritually, so that I cannot hear, that's going to further interact with the eye that it cannot see, the hand that will not work, feet that they will not go, and so forth. If my heart has spiritual paralysis so that I cannot trust, it's going to affect those other areas as well. They're going to overlap. In fact, spiritual paralysis in one area likely is going to affect all of those. Tonight, then, as we examine our own hearts, our own eyes and ears and hands and feet and heart, are we suffering from spiritual paralysis? If so, we have an opportunity to make that right. Ask God's forgiveness as we reflect upon those passages and upon our own lives. If I'm not hearing as I ought to hear, then I can change that. Unlike physical paralysis, which more often than not, nothing can be done medically. But with spiritual paralysis, we have the great physician. And with God, all things are possible. So the eye that has turned away from God's Word that it cannot see can be made to see again. The ear that is turned away from hearing His Word can hear again. The hand that has not labored for His cause can work again. The feet that have simply stayed stationary can once again go. The heart that has long ago stopped trusting can beat again in trusting in God and His Word. Tonight then, do you have spiritual paralysis in any form? If so, make those things right with God. Ask His forgiveness, 1 John 1 and verse 9. He is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there might be one listening who has never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you must believe Jesus to be the Son of God. That reflects upon your hearing. That also reflects upon your heart, that it might trust. We must repent of our sins. Again, reflection upon that which we hear, that which we're commanded to do. We must confess the name of Christ before men. You see, the mouth is no longer paralyzed. It can speak. We must be baptized for the remission of our sins. That's a part of going. That's a part also of doing what God has commanded us. And it all certainly involves the heart, that it trust. Sin paralyzes all those areas. So if one has not obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can do that tonight. Be added to the body of Christ. Have your sins washed away. But unlike the condition of physical paralysis, we have one to whom we can go with a guaranteed remedy and a guaranteed cure. So for the eye that will not see, the ear that will not hear, the hand that will not work, the feet that will not go, the heart that cannot trust, because we ourselves have turned away from the source of that, we can go to the great physician, and He will heal our maladies. And that instantly, if we as His children simply ask His forgiveness, knowing that He's faithful and just to forgive. Do you suffer from any form of spiritual paralysis tonight? If so, you need to make those things right, and we can help you. We urge you to come while we stand and while we sing together.